East Stark Street. Chinese home-style dishes prepared daily from 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. or later. Dinner was delivered by Caviar. Caviar provides food deliveries from restaurants all over Portland. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Fiesta Flamenca Navideña on December 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Alberta Abbey in Portland. Fiesta Flamenca Navideña features traditional holiday songs, student and Espacio Flamenco Company performances, and a flamenco sing-along. There will also be snacks and beverages. Again, that's Fiesta Flamenca Navideña on Sunday, December 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Alberta Abbey, 126 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It is 5 p.m. and coming up next we have KBOO Evening News. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Levin and Levine LLP attorneys specializing in personal injury law. Levin and Levine offices are located in Southeast Portland and Old Town Sherwood. More information available by phone at 503-946-8708 and online at levinandlevine.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a Portland bridge returns.
Hate crime sentencing.
And in international news, the recent Yemen vote. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, December 12th, 2018. I'm Rachel Hartley.
And I'm Teresa Mitchell. Eight suspected white supremacists, including three from Oregon, have been arrested for a violent attack on a black DJ in Washington State, which took place in the early hours on Saturday. The seven men and one woman, including Daniel Dorson of Corvallis and Corey Colwell and Randy A. Smith of Eugene, are said to have beaten and stomped on the 37-year-old DJ while shouting racial slurs and trying to take over his equipment. The victim was taken to hospital with a swollen eye and other non-life-threatening injuries. Another man who intervened in the defense of the DJ was also injured. Court papers identified the suspects as being affiliated with the Aryan Brotherhood, a white supremacist prison gang founded in 1964. Among the other suspects is Travis David Condor from Pittsburgh, who had previously served jail time for beating a homeless man with a baseball bat and was photographed attending last year's Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. The attackers are being charged with a variety of offenses, including assault and malicious harassment.
An Oregon State University student found guilty of three hate crimes was sentenced to 40 days in jail and 3 years of probation. Andrew Oswalt, who placed racist bumper stickers on the cars of racial justice advocates, was sentenced to 30 days for intimidation in the first degree, which is classified as a hate crime, and 10 days for criminal mischief. Judge David Connell said, and quote, "What you did was really horrible, and I'm not sure you get this," end quote. Oswalt plans to appeal the sentence, according to his attorney, Nicholas Ortiz.
Though not quite the ghost of Christmas past, the Columbia River Crossing Project to replace the 102-year-old interstate bridge returned in a meeting yesterday. Seven Washington lawmakers and five Oregon legislators sat in a North Portland conference room for more than 2 hours. After nearly $3 billion had been spent in planning, the project came to a halt 5 years ago after a small group of Washington lawmakers prevented that state from funding its $450 million share. Because of that rebuff, Oregon lawmakers were cautious, wanting to gauge their Washington counterparts' commitment. The only agreement reached at the meeting was to meet again. Oregon and Washington face a looming September 2019 deadline to either convince federal officials that they are dedicated to reviving bridge talks or reimburse the feds $139 million.
Oregon legislatures will introduce a bill next year which requires safe storage of guns. The bill would require gun owners to store their weapons using locks and could carry a fine up to $2,000 if a child gets unauthorized access to a firearm. Shooting victims would be able to sue for damages more easily if guns were improperly stored, if the owner failed to report the loss or theft of a gun, or if a child using a weapon was not fully supervised. The bill will be named after Cindy Yulee and Steve Forsyth, the two victims of the Clackamas Town Center mass shooting, which happened 6 years ago on Tuesday.
A strong storm brought 10 inches of snow, ice, and power outages to Mount Hood Meadow, causing the shutdown of its blue chairlift while it was still occupied. The operators switched to auxiliary power, but it wasn't enough to drive the lift, so the only choice was to stop the lift and evacuate the passengers with ropes and harnesses. The express lift was already shut down because of ice. No injuries were reported.
KBOO's Teresa Mitchell spoke with Dan Handelman of Cop Watch about grand juries, deadly force, tasers, and the ongoing collaboration between Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the Portland Police Bureau.
How do you get on a grand jury?
You get a summons. Actually, I received a summons a few months ago to sit on a grand jury, and I said, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to be perceived as an unbiased person since I've been working on a group called Portland Cop Watch for the last 27 years. And they said, oh, that doesn't matter to us. We have police officers who sit on grand juries, at which point my jaw hit the floor. you know, if you have a police officer sitting in on a grand jury, that is about whether a police officer used deadly force inappropriately. That should not happen.
Well, I guess that you should get on then. Now, in April, you came out with information about police shootings remaining steady in Oregon. So I want to ask you, is 2018 turning out to be an average year in terms of people shot and or killed by Portland police?
Oh, not at all. Since that time, like a couple of months ago, we actually put out a new release that said that shootings were up by a very large percentage over previous years, and at this point, were up by at least 40% over a normal year. When I say normal, I mean we shouldn't have any deadly force incidents with police. That would be an ideal society. But the average that we found from 2010 till 2017 was 25 per year. Right now, there have been 34, including this most recent shooting that happened on Friday. So there's something going on. If you look at the Washington Post's list, they're keeping track since after Ferguson of how many deaths happened by police shootings nationwide. That number is remaining steady. But in Oregon, the number of deadly force, so just to be clear, the 34 incidents aren't all ones that ended in death, but the percentage of people who died from them is the same as usual. So that means that we are at 40% in the number of deaths by police in Oregon. And why is that so much higher when it's about the same nationwide? I don't know. I can't answer that question.
I understand that the Portland police and the Immigration and Customs Enforcement are cooperating with each other no matter what is said. Can you comment on that?
That's kind of a thumbnail sketch of what we said in the headline in our newsletter. Just to be clear, this is what happens. The Portland police have a policy that is based on state law that says they can't cooperate when immigration officials are investigating somebody only for an immigration violation, which is a civil violation and it's a federal statute. However, if that person has committed another crime and also has an immigration violation, they are allowed to cooperate. And then there's also, in the policy that the police have, there's a clause that says that the police can lend support to immigration officials for such things as directing traffic, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, when people were blockading the ICE building over the summer, the Portland police did act to blockade the streets and allow for the federal law enforcement to clear out the protesters and make arrests and use violence. So it's fairly clear that the Portland police do cooperate with ICE, even though the mayor's made very strong statements he didn't think it should happen, and he was trying to lay back on what was going on down with the Occupy movement. It also came out, by the way, that Chief Outlaw said she was going to go down and enforce the law regardless of whatever the mayor said, even though he's the police commissioner and she, in theory, should be deferring to him.
Well, Dan, thank you very much for taking the time.
Sure, sure. It's my pleasure.
For KBOO Portland, I'm Teresa Mitchell. Michelle Obama is coming to Portland. On February 9th, 2019, Michelle Obama will speak at the Moda Center as part of her upcoming national tour, Becoming, an intimate conversation with Michelle Obama. She will be promoting her new book. In a statement, Obama said, "I've been so humbled by the response to the tour thus far and the overwhelming interest we've received from so many communities." She said, "I can't wait to continue the discussions that have been so meaningful for me and I hope for so many others," end quote. She will discuss memories from her childhood spent in Chicago's South Side, the challenges she has faced as an executive balancing the demands of motherhood, and her experiences as First Lady.
Oregon Health and Science University is considering dropping their objections to graduate students' unionization efforts, according to labor organizers. A hearing to determine whether students could unionize was due to start today, but OHSU has moved the date back to January 9th. Jess Kokles, an AFSCME organizer, told the Portland Mercury that, and quote, "the administration is realizing that fighting the graduate researchers is creating ill will and would start out a working relationship with this group on the wrong foot," end quote.
You and Eleanor Rigby are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for News from the Boo. At 6, it's going to be Right to Survive, and then at 7, Combined Culture Radio. Tonight's weather will be cloudy with a 40% chance of rain and a low of 42. Tomorrow's weather will be partly sunny with a high of 50 and a 0% chance of rain. Today in history, in 1901, physicist and radio pioneer Guglielmo Marconi sent the first radio transmission across the Atlantic Ocean, the Morse code signal for the letter S. The quote of the day is from comedian George Carlin, "May the forces of evil become confused on the way to your house." And here's another quote, "It's time for you to join KBOO." We'll hear more about that in just a moment.
This is that time that you hear more about that. I'm Ani. I'm here with Annette. And we are asking you to stop what you're doing right now and join KBOO. Support the evening newscast. Support all the volunteers that come in to make the news happen, like Teresa, like Annette, like David there in the air room. And, oh my gosh, we've had Emily and Oliver and a cast of thousands. Dan was in earlier. You know, and this is the thing. Your contributions to 877-500-5266 makes the evening news possible. You pay for the training of community volunteers to come in and put the news together under the stewardship of Rachel Hartley, and we thank her, RPM news director. And this is the team that brings you the news every night, a different crew of volunteers coming in, and they do it with your support, dear listeners. So this is the time. Please do give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm and show your appreciation for the evening news.
Yeah, and some of the stories that are covered, for example, you just heard Cop Watch with Dan Handelman talking about deadly force incidents involving police in our community, things that you probably don't hear a lot about from other sources. We had a couple of stories about the hate crimes in our community and racial slurs and the gun legislation that our state lawmakers are looking at right now that could dramatically change the way guns are policed, basically, in our community. Mm-hmm. Those could be huge changes coming up. And these are issues that we need to keep covering here at KBOO, and we need to bring those stories to you. So that's why it's so important for you to pick up the phone, give us a call, 877-500-5266. We're a community-supported, listener-supported community radio, and we're all about you, serving you, and bringing you the voices of people who may not always be heard of in the community.
Absolutely. Our mission is to, in fact, make sure that people have access to the microphone and access to free training programs who are from disenfranchised and underserved communities, the marginalized communities that are seldom heard from. And so this is so important. We bring you information from the communities brought forth by the communities for you our community. So this is the time that you need to chime on in. It's reciprocity, right? That's mm-hmm. the way it works. Please do consider giving right now at $10 a month. We could have a KBOO shirt as your thank you gift. You could have the Democracy Now! T-shirt. If that is maybe a little stretch for you, we understand. You can become a KBOO member for as little as $20 in a year. You can do that. We want to make sure we are accessible to everyone. But we know a lot of folks in the community might have a little bit more resource that they could share, and we're asking you to do that. Please think about giving an hour's wage every month to KBOO, whatever that looks like to you. That would be a wonderful way to even out the support from the entire community. 877-500-5266 is that number to call. We are looking to raise $100. And right now, you could be the person that does that. With your $10 a month contribution, you could put us over the top. 877-500-5266. I know Annette has a couple of enticements.
We do. We have a couple of sweeteners. Hopefully, these will help seal the deal. If you are a rock music fan, you could actually have a couple of tickets to Larry and His Flask. Just like the name of that.
It's a good name.
Yeah, pretty cool name. Okay, at the Doug Fir Lounge, we got two pairs of tickets. And for a minimum donation of $60, they can be yours. Again, all you have to do is call 877-500-5266. Also, for the rock and pop fans out there, May is going to be performing Saturday, January the 12th at the Doug Fir Lounge as well. We have got one pair of tickets available to see May, and those can be yours for $60 a month. So if you have a rock music fan in your family, these are a couple of nice gifts that you can actually be giving to your community radio station as well as to your loved one.
That's the thing, right? Because you know that the real gift you get is KBOO in your ear. You know that you stay informed with KBOO and that you've already joined us with your mind and with your heart. You're listening right now. You know that we're important. And so think again about how you can give back to this community that does so much throughout the year, and think of what you get with KBOO in your ear. Think of all the events that you've learned about, the issues that you care about deeply that we report on, be that economic crises, be that the environmental and climate crisis, be that hate crimes, be that the world as it is, which is on fire. Know that you can tune in to KBOO Community Radio and get the views from so many passionate community members coming together to share their knowledge, to bring you the journalism that you rely on. Please support that effort right now with your contributions. I'm going to go ahead and suggest $5 a month is a great way to jump in as a new member. And when you do that, you can ask for that beautiful tote bag as your gift. We would love to thank you. But first, you have to make that call. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Portland School District is facing criticism for failing to listen to students and teachers after the school board voted to pay for police in schools. The proposal to spend $1.2 million a year on 9 police officers was approved by Portland School Board, despite students, teachers, and parents, including the board's student representative, Nick Paisler, urging a delay to allow more discussion. Opponents of the resolution raised concerns about the presence of armed police in schools, the potential for racial profiling, and the financial burden of the move. The board's only member of color, Julie Esperanza Brown, who voted no on the agreement, talked about her experiences being unfairly targeted and her concerns about how the decision would affect children of color in schools. The resolution will now be voted on by Portland City of Council.
Michael Cohen, Trump's longtime fixer, now has his location for the next 3 years fixed in a federal prison. Cohen was convicted of several crimes, including lying to Congress and facilitating illegal payments to silence two women who alleged affairs with Trump. A week ago, the Mueller investigation team recommended that Cohen receive a sentence of no more than 4 years because of his cooperation in their work. Cohen was quoted saying, "I have been living in a personal and mental incarceration ever since the day that I accepted the offer to work for a real estate mogul whose business acumen I deeply admired." Cohen also said, quote, "I know now, in fact, there is little to be admired," end quote.
And now it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes in for Antonio Gonzalez. A half dozen members of Congress joined nearly 20 tribes and tribal organizations at the U.S. Capitol Tuesday to speak out against the Trump administration's plans to pursue oil and gas development in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The event was organized by the Gwich'in Steering Committee, which has consistently opposed oil and gas drilling for environmental, cultural, and sustainable hunting reasons. New Mexico Congresswoman-elect Deborah Holland of Laguna Pueblo says the Trump administration's push for oil and gas extraction puts corporate profits ahead of people and the environment.
I feel very confident that the indigenous people of Alaska know how to care for their land, and that's what we're here to support. I don't think we can drill our way out of the effects of climate change right now.
A company has applied for permission to conduct seismic tests within the Arctic Refuge as early as January. The resulting survey will be used by potential bidders for oil leases as early as next summer. Meanwhile, Mother Jones Magazine reports an internal memo circulated within the Department of Interior earlier this year warned that oil exploration in the Arctic Refuge could be detrimental to fragile polar bear populations. The magazine reports the memo was authored by the state's Office for U.S. Fish and Wildlife. The report suggests the Trump administration is ignoring potential environmental harm with its rhetoric for aggressive oil and gas development. A new shelter is opening on a plot of land in Minneapolis owned by the Red Lake Nation to help homeless people at an encampment that cropped up along a six-lane highway in the city. The encampment is dubbed the Wall of Forgotten Natives for the many Native people residing there. Melissa Townsend has more.
The $1.5 million shelter is called a navigation center, and it's unlike any other shelter in Minneapolis. It is staffed with people offering support services. It's open 24 hours a day, and there are no sobriety requirements for entry. It is also temporary. The shelter, which opened this week, is slated to close in May. Minneapolis city officials say they are moving camp residents from their tents to the navigation center this week. Many Native leaders in the region support the move. Mike Gozy is CEO of the American Indian Community Development Corporation.
I just haven't found the camp to be a sustainable housing option. I don't agree that keeping people in such dire straits is a good thing.
Gozy's nonprofit builds and manages permanent supportive housing complexes in South Minneapolis. While he supports the temporary shelter, he says he'd like to see city, county, state, and tribal officials plan more long-term, affordable, supportive housing for Natives experiencing homelessness. In the meantime, some camp residents have said they prefer to stay in their tents.
Hello,
folks. They will not be moving to the navigation center. City officials have not given any details on what will happen to the tent camp or the people who say they want to stay. For National Native News, I'm Melissa Townsend.
An oversight hearing for the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs is scheduled to take up the topic of missing and murdered indigenous women Wednesday. Those providing testimony include Department of Justice officials, as well as Navajo Tribal Council Delegate Amber Crotty, and the sister of Ashley Loring Heavy Runner, a 22-year-old Blackfeet woman who has been missing for a year and a half. The hearing comes as a bill to improve law enforcement information sharing is awaiting a vote in the U.S. House. The Senate unanimously approved what is known as Savannah's Act last week. It would provide tribal police with better access to federal criminal databases, require tribal consultations to create established protocols for law enforcement agencies responding to cases of missing and murdered indigenous women, and it would require an annual report to Congress. The bill is named for Savannah Marie Graywind, who was murdered last year in Fargo. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
Yesterday's Oval Office meeting of Donald Trump and Democratic congressional leaders Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, with Mike Pence silent and expressionless, was more entertainment than government. Trump played his usual tactics of bluster and interruption. When Pelosi told Trump he didn't have enough votes in the House to fund his wall, Trump said, "We won the Senate." After several exchanges about security and the practicality of the wall, Trump had the last words, quote, "I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country," end quote.
Like President Trump, KBOO News poet Dan Raphael is in a giving mood.
What better gift for pollution spewers than a lot more rivers to spew into? That Donnie so magnanimous, giving the Saudi crown prince cover for murder, giving the Chinese government and the U.S. stock market conniptions and ulcers. Yesterday, he told Pelosi and Schumer he'll give them a government shutdown unless they give him a wall. Now, if we could choose where to put that wall, I might agree. Donnie'd be happy to put coal in all our stockings, but I don't want to get anything for Christmas. I just want something taken away from the White House, which would give me more joy than any object. Not that Donnie gone means we get our country back. I can wait till next Christmas for that. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
During Argentina's junta dictatorship of the 70s and 80s, over 30,000 Argentine citizens were disappeared by the government, according to Amnesty International. Labor union leaders made up the largest proportion of these disappearances. On Tuesday, two former Ford executives were convicted by a Buenos Aires court for their involvement in the government's kidnapping and torture of 24 union-affiliated workers from a Buenos Aires Ford plant in the 1970s. The convictions come over 30 years after the fall of Argentina's junta dictatorship, and some argue far too late. Tuesday signifies the first instance in which representatives of a multinational company have been convicted through Argentina's transitional justice process. The Center for Legal and Social Studies, an Argentinian human rights group, said in a statement, corporations, quote, became one more link in the structure of state terrorism, end quote. Marcelo Garcia Berro, the prosecutor, explained, quote, we were able to show during the trial that Ford benefited economically during the period. It used the repressive arm of the dictatorship to get rid of people that bothered them, end quote. As the judge read the guilty verdict, family members of the 24 victims burst into applause and held photos of their family members in hand.
The Senate has voted 60-39 to open debate on ending U.S. involvement in the war on Yemen. The bill, sponsored by Bernie Sanders and Utah Republican Mike Lee, initially failed on March this year, but has gained traction following the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The war is led by Saudi Arabia, and the U.S.'s involvement was never approved by Congress. The bill is largely seen as symbolic, and it is not expected to be taken up by the Republican-controlled House during the lame duck session. However, supporters say it sends a strong message about the humanitarian crisis in Yemen and the weak response to the Khashoggi murder by the Trump administration. Earlier today, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo repeated claims that there was no direct evidence implicating Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, despite seemingly clear evidence to the contrary.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, December 12, 2018. Here are the main points once again. The Portland I-5 Bridge Replacement Project is back. Local white supremacists have been sentenced for hate crimes, and in international news, Congress has recently voted to condemn Saudi operation of the war against Yemen. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Oliver Mintz-Low, Emily Gresham-Beamer, and Teresa Mitchell. The producer is Rachel Hartley, and our engineer is David Coasters. The director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Rachel Hartley. A podcast and transcript of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Coming up for tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Voices from the Edge welcomes back longtime host and newly elected Portland City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty to KBOO to talk about the legacy of the America's drug war. At 9 is Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell's talk to Professor Alex Vital about his book, The End of Policing. At 10, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Making Contact follows the work of activists and elected officials to cut the prison population, divert drug arrests, and increase accountability for local police. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures sits down with comic artist Ali Fitzgerald to talk about her new memoir, Drawn to Berlin, which follows her encounters with Syrian youth in a makeshift refugee center in Germany. Support KBOO during this holiday membership drive. Call 877-500-KBOO. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
Good night,
I'm
Rachel
Hartley.
Oh. And I'm Teresa Mitchell.
Thanks, David. Have a good night.
Narf.
And we are back here on KBOO. This is the Holiday Drive Time Edition. I'm Annette Newell. I'm here with Ani Haynes right now, and we are asking for your help as we're trying to get more people to call us at 877-500-5266. Plenty of you have already contributed, and we've gotten almost $4,000 so far since this holiday drive started, but gosh, we need to hear from more of you. Please contribute to your community radio station at 877-500-5266, or you can go online and make a secure donation to kboo.fm.
That's absolutely right, Annette. And this is the time to do it because your support of the evening news means so much to so many news volunteers and to making sure that that door stays open for access to community members to come in and be trained in the radio arts. We have people who have been print journalists or journalists in other media come in and learn how to do radio here and how to do podcasting here. Or maybe they have done radio elsewhere, but here they know they have freedom to report on the issues that are actually important and meaningful to them as opposed to what's been handed to them by a story desk. This is so very rare, this approach to the news, to make sure that the most marginalized communities have amplification and that we keep each other informed about the reality of what's going on within our communities so that we can, in fact, support each other and recognize how we can make the world a better place together. And right now, the step that you can take to tangibly make the world a better place is to strengthen your community radio station, KBOO. Please give us a call at 877-500-5266. When you do that, you'll connect with one of our volunteers who's answering the phone, and they will walk you through a pretty fast and quick process, and they will know that you give a damn, that you are making a difference with your donation. Your entire community knows that because we are strengthened when we all pitch in together. Call right now with your contribution of $5 a month. It would be so great to hear from you. A couple of new members who haven't taken that plunge before, I guarantee you will hear the radio differently every time you tune in once you become a